So I want to begin by saying a few thank yous, first of all, to Utica Schools, Principal Lisa McDill, and Jerome Hoppe. I don't know if Jerome is still here or not, but you need to understand, like, we searched inside of 8 different schools driving across the, everywhere in Macomb County, and Jerome was the guy to do that, and he was the one who recommended us to be at Shelby Junior High. And we initially were like, all right, let's check it out. And when our advisory board was here, we actually were praying right in that spot. And a few people on the board, I don't know if it was Dave, if you said it first, but you're like, this feels like home. And then we just kept praying, and we sensed more and more that this is the place where God wants us to meet. And so just thank you to the principal and to Jerome. They have been amazing, and I'm just so excited to be here and what God's going to do in and through us as a result of being here at this school. The other thing I want to thank, and we don't have a slide for this one, but Heritage Church, for those of you who don't know, we have been meeting for about a year. We were in pre-launch phase back in October 17th. Was our first time we ever met once a month. Heritage Church has been amazing to us, and we were meeting on Sunday nights for the past year. And so what was neat was we had their pastor and a few other people from their teams up on stage last week, and we just said, hey, would you welcome them and thank them for being here? And you guys, if you were there, you know, you started clapping, and then some people started standing up, and it was like a stand ovation, and then that just kept on going and going and going. And I got choked up on behalf of them and just how amazing it was and what God did through Heritage Church and how they just partnered with us, even though they, you know, and it's not a competition thing, right? We're all about the kingdom of God, and they have been absolutely amazing to us. So thank you, Heritage Church. And also the volunteer teams to help transform this place into a sanctuary to make it the vineyard. The volunteer teams, I have a bunch of pictures. 24 hours ago, we were here for the first time setting up, and here's some pictures. That's our trailer, 18-footer. Woo! That's the group just unloading, learning how to take the first case. Then here's a picture of Jack taking the very first case in Shelby ever. We have people folding programs. And here's my little girl, Evelyn. She's stuck there. I think she's actually still stuck there. We're not sure. Lauren and Katie with one of the cases, our coffee case. There's a group shot of people in our children's wing, which is awesome. There's the kiddos. By the way, there's like a whole lot more kiddos there today. That was just ours from yesterday. Here's a lobby as we're transforming it into East Side Cafe. And then here's Johnny. He's my nephew, and he's awesome. Has a great smile, great voice, and a great, great T-shirt as well. So also, one thing that's kind of fun in moving from nights to mornings, and I'd like to thank my volunteer time, especially guys like Kent and James. I put a gag order on Lions scores over the last month because we just getting crazy in the afternoon, and I taped my game. We don't have cable, so if you remember VHS tapes, we still use those at the cop house. And so I taped the game. We didn't know anything about the score. So what was amazing? So last two nights, I'm watching the game and amazing comebacks. Like unbelievable comebacks. And I felt so bad that I put this gag order on our team because just guys want to talk about that stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to hear anything. And I'm going home and watching on my VCR the game. So what's really cool is that there's no more gag order on any scores, which we're really excited about. So my apologies to you guys. So with all that being said, let's dive in. We are going to do what we do every single week at the Vineyard. We're going to teach the Bible. We'll go through it a few verses at a time and seeing where God leads us. If you have a Bible, we're in Matthew chapter 7. We have been working through this gospel, the first gospel of the New Testament, the biography of Jesus, and it's been absolutely amazing to see how God has shown up in this time that we have been meeting. It's so many times that the verses that we're preaching, again, we're going in order. We start in chapter 1, verse 1, and working our way through one section at a time. And so we were doing that. We said, okay, well, we do what we do. We're going to teach the Bible. But the question is, okay, even though we've been going through the series, verse by verse, what do we teach on our grand opening? Because you can do a standalone sermon, just maybe teach something on the book of Acts, like the church is born, something like that. And, you know, first time at our new location. So I was meeting with our advisory board about a month ago, And we were just brainstorming, saying, hey, what verses should we teach on? Should we go in Matthew, or should we go off of the road for a week and do a standalone sermon? And so this is about a month ago, so one of the board members was saying, well, probably a standalone message, because it's kind of like the kickoff, but if you were to teach in the series, where would you be in a month? And we didn't know, so I got out my schedule, we looked, and we would be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And so we got out our Bibles, and we opened up those verses, and here is actually the verses that we would have landed on October 9th. Let me read them to you. It says, Jesus speaking, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. So it's like, okay, great, a nice fire and brimstone sermon the first time on a Sunday. If you want your church to grow in reverse, why don't you do that? So maybe each week you like lose half of the people. But as we joked about that, and I remember we joked about that, Greg, who's in India right now, he's like, well, Dan, unless you can pull a rabbit out of your hat, you might not want to teach that verse on your opening like launch day at Shelby Junior High. But that's like the initial reaction. Then I started praying about it, and I realized that over and over again, God has shown up at our church. That on September 11th, we just quote-unquote happened coincidentally to land on the verses where Jesus tells us, do not worry. And we struggle with that on a day like 9/11, the 10th anniversary. How can we do what Jesus said on a day where we were remembering just the craziness of being introduced to a name like Al-Qaeda, which we didn't even know. But do not worry, that's where we landed on that day. It happened because we feel like God did that. So we said, you know what? Maybe it's not a coincidence that we landed on these verses today. And so as I was praying more and more, I felt like, you know, God's saying, I want you to teach on those. Don't kind of skip them for a week. Don't kind of bypass that week and just go up to verse 15, you know. Like, we're going to skip 30. We're supposed to do that, but we're, you know, destruction, and we don't want to talk about that here. So we said, no, you know what? I want to teach this passage. And here's the reality, and here's the hook, is that the reality is when we saw those verses about why this road leads to destruction, that these verses actually are not saying what we think that they're saying at first glance. This passage is not about fire and brimstone. This passage is not about heaven and hell, even though it sounds like it might be at first. So it's really cool. This is where we are. So instead of doing a standalone, I decided I'm going to keep preaching what I've been doing, and we'll see what God does. But before we dive into the text, if you could just bow your heads with me, and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this day that you have made. Thanks for bringing each person here. God, there may be stories of people who didn't even know of this church. They're driving, maybe going to Ocean Breeze, and they decided to swing by church first. I pray that they have an encounter with you. I pray for every new person that's here. God, thank you for drawing them here. I pray that they encounter you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you fill me right now, and that ultimately you are our teacher today. Thanks, Jesus, for this day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. We rejoice and we are glad in you. Thanks, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah. All right, so Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Again, you read this and you think, man, fire and brimstone. Heaven and hell. But I don't believe that's what he meant when he gave us that teaching. And I want to explain that. I want to prove that point today. And I want to look carefully at the text, because what happens is a lot of times when we read the Bible, you tend to kind of insert words. We read into the text without looking and saying, well, what actually is in front of us? So if we look at the text, what we realize is the word hell's not there. Jesus does not say, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to hell. He says, it leads to destruction. Now, what we tend to do is we tend to read in the text and say, well, but of course what Jesus meant was hell, right? But the truth is that if he wanted to talk about hell, he could have. There's a Greek word that he chose not to use. He chose something else. See, we need to realize that looking at the text, what does the text say back then? And then how do we apply it to our lives today, and not read into it, not add words, not interpret things, but look at it at face value. And I like to, if you guys have come to our church before, you know that every once in a while I'll give you a Greek word. So that primarily you can no longer say that it's not Greek, that's Greek to me, like that phrase. You won't be able to say that. We're teaching you one word at a time, one word at a time, one word at a time. So I actually have two of them today. But we need to go back to the Greek to say, okay, when it was penned, it was written in Greek. And what did that verse mean in Greek? What are some words? So the word that I'm going to teach you, the first word, the word destruction, is actually the word apaleia. Apaleia. It's a fun word. It means destruction. It means waste. It means ruin. And if you are a Left Behind book fan, anybody read the Left Behind books? So about 12 years ago, like the Y2K thing was like on the cusp, like the world was about to end. And the authors had perfect timing because they came out with books a few years before that. And it was a book about the end times, the end of the world. And I read, there's probably like a dozen books in the series. I read about the first eight of them. Then I got burned out, and so I don't know, even though you kind of know what happens at the end. I don't officially know. But book five was titled Apollyon. And here's a picture of it. And that, it says, the destroyer is unleashed. So if you were in a bookstore, and these books were at Costco, all over the place, you may have seen that cover. And the word there, Apollyon, is the Greek word for destroyer or destruction. And as you see, over 63 million sold in the series. An amazing book. So maybe, again, that word, when I said apaleia, might have kind of rung a bell because maybe you saw this book at Costco a few years back. So that's the word for destruction. There's another word for hell, and that word is Gehenna. Gehenna. That's the word for hell. And again, when we look at the Greek text, Jesus did not use this word. He did not say, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to Gehenna, and many enter through it. Instead, in the Greek text, he says, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to apaleia, and many enter through it. See, I don't believe Jesus is talking about hell here. If he wanted to do that, he could have used that word, but he didn't. I believe something else is going on, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. And also, these verses do not say that the road to heaven is narrow or the road to eternal life is narrow. Instead, the text simply says the road to life. He says, small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Again, he could have added a word here or there, but he chose not to. He simply said the word life. So I don't believe these verses are about heaven and hell, even though initially that's kind of what it sounds like. They're about something else, and now I want to explain what that something else is. And when we read our Bible, it's so important. This is so important, whether you're here one time or you come a bunch, that we always read the Bible in context, right? The Bible is a book. It's a book of books. And what we tend to do is we'll quote a verse in isolation from another as if, like, it's in a vacuum, like it just kind of landed. But the reality is that this is not a standalone verse that Jesus said. In fact, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount teaching. Jesus, for 2.5 chapters so far, we've been going through the story by story, has been teaching us, and this verse lands in it, 2.5 chapters into it. And the previous 2.5 chapters, Jesus focused on what does it mean to bring the kingdom of God to earth? What does it mean to make God's kingdom come, to make God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So he was giving us very practical teachings previous to today's topic, about dealing with life right now, while we're alive right now. And so then we get to this verse, and I don't believe Jesus is switching topics all of a sudden. I don't believe that all of a sudden he's talking about, hey, here's how to live on earth right now. Very practical, very practical. And by the way, I'm going to like change and now talk about heaven and hell. Jesus is a master teacher. He's teaching in flow and context. So we need to understand that. We need to remember that this passage does not exist in a vacuum. Jesus, I believe, is contrasting two ways to live on earth. There's a narrow way, a narrow gate, a narrow road, and that is doing what he commands us to do when we obey him. And then the other road is the wide road where we do whatever we want to do. Here's a quote from Dallas Willard. One of my favorite guys, Divine Conspiracy, he says, the narrow gate is obedience, the confidence in Jesus necessary to do that, to walk through the narrow gate, to walk through the narrow path. The broad gate, by contrast, is simply doing whatever I want to do. And Jesus is saying that very few people walk through the narrow gate. Few people walk that path. Few people find it, and I would submit to you, even few Christians. Most people, Jesus says, walk the wide path, the path that leads to destruction. And again, the word is apaleia, so it could mean ruin or waste. What Jesus, I believe, is saying, he's telling his audience, he's saying, don't do things that destroy your life. Don't do things that ruin your life. Don't do things that waste your time or waste your life. There are things that we do that we think give us life, but in fact, they take life away from us. In the end, these things destroy us, they ruin us, and they're a waste of our time. So I believe when we get to the verses that we're here today, Jesus is putting an exclamation point on everything he previously taught. He is saying, I have been teaching you the right way to live, the way that honors God, the way that makes God's kingdom come more fully on earth, the way that makes God's will more fully done on earth. And now he's putting the exclamation point on that. And so what I wanted to do was do a little bit of review. For those of you maybe who are new here, this will be brand new stuff. If you've been on the journey, you need the reminder. I need the reminder that we're looking at the previous 2.5 chapters, and now we're going to apply them in just like paint a wide picture of how do we live this life? How do we walk through the narrow gate? How do we walk along the path that is not wide, that doesn't lead to destruction? So I decided there's a whole bunch of teaching, and I didn't want to get out the fire hose and make you drink from it. So I just picked a few topics that we've touched on over the past few months or so at our church. So here we go. And again, I'm going to just touch on these, give a few points, and you can read them on your own as some homework if you want to. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, Jesus is, this is when the Sermon on the Mount begins. It's known as the Beatitudes, and it talks about how who is being blessed in our eyes. Do we have a slide for that? Matthew 5. There we go. Thank you. We walk on the wide road, right? We walk on the road that leads to destruction when we focus on the beautiful people of the world. And we do that. You're in the checkout counter. You're at the grocery store. You got all the pictures of all of the famous and the rich. And we're consumed with them, the people who we think are blessed. And Jesus is saying that when we focus on the beautiful people, we spend time and we spend energy. That's the wide road. It's the wide road. Skipping ahead a few verses to verse 21. Jesus there talks about anger and hatred. And he's saying you walk the wide road when you hold a grudge, when you don't forgive. Again, sometimes that feels good. They deserve it. And you put yourself in a prison. And it's you putting yourself in that prison because you don't forgive. He says that's the wide road. It leads to destruction. Skipping ahead to verse 33. Jesus is talking about oaths, and he says, simply let your yes be yes. He's saying that we walk the wide road when we say yes to something and the yes becomes a no. And we think, hey, what's the big deal about that? But Jesus is saying, it's a huge deal. Just speak the truth. Do what you mean and do what you say. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Jesus talks about giving to the needy. And he says, when you do it, not if you do it. And here's the deal. We walk the wide road when we don't do what Jesus commands us to do. Skipping ahead to chapter number 7. Jesus says, probably his most famous teaching, quoted nowadays, do not judge. Do not judge. We quote that out of context all the time, but the bottom line is that we judge people all day long. I had a challenge to you that weekend to make a judgment-free day. Just pick one day and don't judge for 24 hours, and you probably crashed and burned about 2 minutes after you woke up. But I said, well, then when you judge, because we do, we judge everything. to pray for people instead. Anytime you feel like you're about to judge someone or you realize you judge someone, pray for them. Jesus says that is a wide road. He calls us to love people, treat them with unsurpassable worth. Right before this passage today, we get to verses 7 through 12, and it's about prayer. And Jesus says to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. So we walk the wide road when we don't do that, when we quit praying, when we give up, when we don't persist in our prayers. And again, we think, well, what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal about any of these things? I mean, really, Jesus? And he's saying, all these things are the wide road. The road that leads to destruction, meaning waste of our lives. We ruin our lives and we don't even realize it. And he is saying that unfortunately, it's the way most of us live. We're just consumed by these things. Don't even realize it. He's saying, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, to ruin, to waste, and many people enter through it. I'm one of those many. We are one of those many. We walk through that gate all the time with all of the decisions and choices that we make, but Jesus doesn't end on a downer. He paints another picture for us. He gives us a better way to live, the narrow gate, the narrow road. Again, saying, I have taught you. I want you to live life to the full. I want you to live the right way, the way that honors God. In fact, in John 10:10, he said this. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. One of my favorite verses. So Jesus wants us to have full life. He wants us to live life to the full. He wants us to experience life. Not getting caught up in like judging people and being greedy and focusing on the beautiful people of the world. Going back on our word. He's saying, no. That's not worth your life. I died for you to live. So live. So in the Sermon on the Mount, the narrow road that Jesus calls us to walk is he's saying, you know what? Instead of saying, man, those people have all the money, they're blessed. Jesus is saying, walk the narrow road instead. Instead, he's saying, I want you to be a blessing to the outcasts of the world. I want you to be a blessing to people who the world has forgotten about. That's the narrow road. Be a blessing to those because they are blessed. Jesus is saying, instead of holding a grudge when someone wrongs you, just let it go. That's the narrow road. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you have someone that you just haven't forgiven yet? You're the one in prison. Let it go. Walk the narrow road. Jesus is saying, always keep your word. Give generously to the needy. Choose to love instead of judge. Persist in prayer and believe the best about God. That is the narrow path. Walk on it, Jesus says. That is the narrow gate. Walk through it, Jesus says. And he says, when you do it, you will experience life to the full. So he said, the few find that. Be one of the few. Be one of the few people that walk that path. In every area of your life, that you don't treat the commands of Jesus as options, but you obey them. Be one of the few to walk the narrow path. Before we planned this church, I was on staff at a Kensington church in Troy. I started going there back in 1996, and a few weeks into my time there, one of the parts of the sermon was we watched a video by a pastor named Tony Campolo. He's a teacher, a professor, and also a pastor, an author, never heard of him before. And he had a book out called Carpe Diem, which is Latin for seize the day. And I went out and I bought the book. The part that we watched on the big screen that day was an excerpt from this book where he preached on it. And that word, that phrase, carpe diem, has stuck with me. For a long time, my emails, I always signed it, carpe diem, with an exclamation point. Seize the day. Make your lives extraordinary. As I was processing that, that's the full life. To seize not just the day, but seize the moments. But there's a barrier to doing that. And I think that barrier is what we learned today. It's because we choose to walk the wide road. So here's a quote. The first part is not on the screen. I just am going to read it for you. And then at the end, if you could actually take that off. Don't read that. I will cue you. But here's a quote from Tony Campolo. It's actually how the book starts. And I want you to put yourself in the position of the student that he kind of like accosts in some ways. It's kind of fun. Tony, if you've ever seen him, he's a pretty exciting guy, pretty passionate guy. So here's how he starts. He says, "How long have you lived?" I posed that question the first day of class. No one answered. It may have been because my manner was a little bit intimidating. But then again, maybe it was because the question had certain ambiguity to it. So I picked out one of the students in the front row of the lecture hall. I focused on him, and I asked the question, this time with an intentionally personal emphasis. How long have you lived? Instinctively, the student answered, 24 years. No, no, I responded. I didn't ask how long you have existed as a breathing, functioning member of the human race. I want you to tell me how long you have been really alive. Then Tony shares a story, giving an example of this. And after sharing that story, Tony said, "I don't know how long I will live," I told that student, "but if I were to live a million years, I would remember that moment because I truly lived it." Now let me ask you the question again. How long have you lived? And the student said, "When I stop to think about it, most of my life has been the meaningless passage of time between all too few moments when I have really been alive." And then here's the quote on the screen. Here's how it ends. "For were the truth to be known, most people are born and years later die without having really lived at all. There are those who never reflect with any intense awareness on any part of their lives. They eat and sleep, they work and reproduce, they study and they forget. They play it safe and tiptoe through life with no aspiration other than to arrive at death safely." And I love that quote. I love that story. Because I think it gets at what we're learning today through the scriptures. The reason why most of us truly never live, we exist, we function, we breathe. But the reason why we don't experience life to the full is because we choose, with every choice we make, to walk the wide road, to walk along the wide path, the path that says, "I'll do whatever I want to do. Jesus, I know you gave me some commands. I know I'm supposed to follow you. But I'm good." Jesus says, "But I want you to experience life to the full." We say, "Yeah, but I'd rather dabble in this or do that. I know I'd be really free if I forgave that person, but I'd rather hold a grudge. I know that I ought to put my faith in action and serve the poor, but I want to focus on what, like, J-Lo is doing." We waste our lives holding grudges. We ruin our relationships by going back on our word. We miss out on being blessed by God as we bless others by serving the poor. We don't experience the power of God in our lives because we quit praying too soon. And that's the wide road. And I hope today, as I paint this picture, that you want to get off of it. You're saying, "You know what? I've walked that road. I want to get off that road. I want to get off that path. I want to get out of that, not pass through that broad gate anymore. Walk through the narrow one. I don't want to simply exist and function as a member of the human race. I want more." Jesus said, "I died to give you a lot more than that." So my hope as we launch at this church, relaunch in some ways at our new location at Shelby, that every single person that hears my voice wants that. That you want to walk the narrow path, along the narrow road. That we would carpe diem, that we would seize the day, that we would seize the moments ahead of us. That we would make our lives extraordinary. That we would do all that for the glory of God. and that we would have the power to do that by the grace of God. And so I gave a whole bunch of applications, a whole bunch of touch points today. And my hope and prayer is that as I preach, there was a word, a thought, a comment, something that's sticking right now, something maybe that right now is being brought back to your mind. You trust that's God. You say, you know what? That is the aspect of the road that I want to start walking on this week. That's the path I need to start walking on this week right now. And you pray to that end, God, give me the grace, give me the power, give me the ability to walk that path, to walk that road, so that your kingdom would come more fully, so that your will be done more fully on this earth. And as we continue in our gospel, story by story, we start to unpack more and more, what does it mean to walk that narrow road? May we be a church that does that. Amen. That walks the narrow road, that goes on that path. Few find it, let's be the few. And let's see what God does. I hope you join me. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thanks for teaching us, challenging us, encouraging us to live lives that are worthy of the calling we've received to be your children. Jesus, may we not be happy with simply going to church, but with, may we be the church. May we be a church that walks that path that is not wide. It doesn't waste our lives. It doesn't destroy us just one decision at a time. May we be a church that walks the other path, the narrow path. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you're bringing to mind that aspect of the path that each person needs to walk on. May you give them the ability to do it by your grace. Jesus, may you use each person here to do amazing things to build your kingdom, to make it come. God, this is an incredible journey. Thank you for the people who are going to lock arms with us in this church. God, I can't wait to see what you do in and through this church. Not just when we meet here in the morning, but what we do throughout the week in this neighborhood, in this region. May we be your hands and feet walking the narrow road with you. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.